Every single person in that audience would recognize the Lord Jesus saying, I am the bread of life coming down from heaven. Every single person in that crowd would draw his mind back to the great history of his people, the Jewish people, the chosen people, being saved by God from slavery from Egypt. They were in the desert for 40 years, and every day, God would rain down bread to feed them. The bread came to be known as manna. He fed them for 40 years until they reached the promised land. Then the bread from heaven stopped. So when the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will have eternal life. They all knew what he was talking about. However, the Lord Jesus said something more. He said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, that is my flesh, you will live forever. Now, the people started to quarrel because God himself has given to the people this law that they cannot eat anything raw when it comes to meat. And so to eat the flesh of Jesus, which is absurd, is not only absurd reasonably, but absurd by the law of God. They could not accept that. And that was the moment when the Lord Jesus had the chance to say, don't worry, people. I'm just using a powerful symbol for you. Bread from heaven, my flesh. I am emphasizing something here. If you believe in me, you have eternal life. This flesh business is just a symbol that I'm adding on to it to make you appreciate who I am. Well, that would have been perfect. But Jesus didn't do that. When people started to quarrel about eating the flesh of Jesus, Jesus changed the tone. Before they quarreled, he used the Greek word phrago. Phrago means to eat. The normal way we speak of eating. After they quarreled about eating his flesh, instead of clarifying it to be something symbolic, he emphasized it more by using a different Greek word that is trogo. Trogo is the word eat to use for animals eating. When you are having a bone and you chew and you tear off the meat of the bones with your teeth, when you're gnawing at it, you're talking about eating in a very primitive way. Trogo. And so instead of the Lord Jesus clarifying for the people, don't worry guys, it's only symbolism, he stacked on more. This is what I am saying to you. Chew, tear off the meat, eat like an animal, eat my flesh. Can Jesus be wrong here? Because Jesus is known to use symbolism to emphasize his teaching. But because he is God, he would never use symbols that would, repel people. He would use symbols that would enhance the teachings that he's making, whether they are hard to accept or not. But in this case, if it was a symbol, he was using the wrong symbol. It's very repulsive for his audience to think of eating raw meat and the raw meat of the teacher. Could Jesus be wrong in using this symbol? Could Jesus be using the wrong symbol? Can Jesus be wrong? St. John didn't think so. St. John, who recorded this episode, taught that he meant it so. That his followers are to eat his flesh and drink his blood. It is a miracle that he will perform for us when at the Last Supper, bread and wine will turn into the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. There's no symbolic way to explain that. It's just the way it is, emphasized by the Lord himself. As St. John taught that, his disciples accepted that. One of his disciples, and there are many, of course, and I can quote them all, we don't have time, but for this morning, I simply quote one of them in St. Justin the Martyr, who died in 165. Because he was a philosopher, St. Justin would write the emperor to explain to the emperor what the Christians were doing, because the Roman emperor was persecuting the Christians. And one of the issues was this cannibalism thing. St. Justin Martyr went to the death for this teaching as he wrote to the emperor. He wrote, "We call this food Eucharist, and no one else is permitted to partake of it except one who believes our teaching to be true and who has been washed in the washing which is for the remission of sins and for regeneration in baptism, and is thereby living as Christ has enjoined. For not as common bread nor common drink do we receive these, but since Jesus Christ our Savior was made incarnate by the Word of God and had both flesh and blood for our salvation, so too, as we have been taught, the food which has been made into the Eucharist by the Eucharistic prayer set down by him, and by the change of which our blood and flesh is nourished, is both the flesh and the blood of that incarnated Jesus." Throughout the history of the church, then, this is what we believed. And we believed it so much that when we were able to build churches, when the Roman Empire became Christian and the word universal in Latin is Catholic, so that the Christians became universal in the Roman Empire, the Catholics were able to build churches to celebrate the Eucharist. And they built, as you know, magnificent churches, magnificent buildings. Why? In order to house the bread from heaven, the body and blood of Christ. the presence of Jesus. It is such a powerful belief that the house, the building that houses this sacred gift from God, has to be worthy of its magnificence. And so beautiful churches were built. They built it for centuries. A church can take 3 centuries from grandfather handing down to grand, to the son, to the grandson, and they would participate in the building of these magnificent edifices around Europe. Our world is the new world, remember, later on we come along. But the world that was, everywhere Catholics built these houses in order to house the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus, the real presence of God. And they were magnificent buildings because of this belief. This is why even today when you go to poor countries, like my own native country of Vietnam, you will find a poor village. People live in sheds. But yet, the church, magnificent. And people who don't understand would say, why didn't they spend the money to help those poor people? The answer is, my brothers and sisters, it was the very poor people who built that church. And why did they spend all that they had, the little that they had, over the years, taking years, in order to build that magnificent church? Because they themselves believe that God is among them, living in that house that they built. And wow, they want to build for God the best house they can build. And this is why Catholic churches throughout the world are not empty buildings. They are house of God. The Holy Eucharist is there. In 1995, Saint now, Pope John Paul II, visited Baltimore. And as to his custom, before he would go out to meet the crowd, he would want to spend a time before the Blessed Sacrament, praying before the body and blood of Jesus in the tabernacle. And so everywhere he went, this is his customary habit. And so in Baltimore, they built a little shift-make chapel for him and put the tabernacle in the middle of the room. But before the Pope could go in, they sent in the sweepers, you see, because they wanted the security team, to make sure that the room, that particular room that they changed into the chapel for John Paul II, to be empty. Nobody is in there, so that for the safety of the Pope. So what they did was, they had a security came in with a dog. The dog that is trained to search out humans. These were dogs that trained to sniff out the hiding, somebody who's hiding somewhere. The dogs will sniff them out, you see. So the handler would bring in the dog to sweep the room, and the dog would do his normal duty. And when he stopped in front of the tabernacle, he stopped and pointed to the handler and saying to the handler, somebody is here. Do you know that in order to join a satanic cult, in order to join, to become a member of the satanic temple, the first requirement, do you know what it is? If you are going to become a member of the Satanic Temple, the first requirement is for you very specific, for you to go to a Catholic church and take Holy Communion and bring it back to us so that we can desecrate it. Because we worship the devil, the enemy of God, so we're going to shame God. Bring back to us the Holy Communion from the Catholic Church, and we will do so, then you can join us. My brothers and sisters, devil worshippers, the devil believes. And so today, as believers, we may not understand. We may not comprehend because it is a mystery of God. But we believe. We believe like St. John believed. We believe like St. Justin Martyr believed. We believe like Catholics throughout the ages believe. We may not understand it, but we believe it. We believe, hopefully, more than the devil worshippers believe. And what is it that we believe, my brothers and sisters? We believe that when we come to Mass, we receive the bread and the wine that has been transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. This is a terrifying beauty. This is an earth-shaking miracle. And because we believe, and we are reminded today by the church as we celebrate the great solemnity of the body and blood of Christ, and you know, as human beings, we can believe in many things, and as we live life, things can become, you know, mundane for us. We can become jaded by many things, and that's why we are reminded of it. Today, the church wants to remind you and me what we believe. What an incredible gift of God. So that if we truly understand what we believe to the capacity that we have, then we will have a whole new way, whole new look, whole new attitude toward coming to Mass. If we truly believe that this is God present in our midst, and it is, we will come to Mass differently. Let us pray together, my brothers and sisters, that we would have an increase of love, of appreciation for this awesome gift of God, that we may have a deeper respect and devotion to this gift of God. In our parish, twice a week, on Wednesday evening and Friday evening, we would have the Blessed Sacrament. We bring him out of his prison in that tabernacle. He is imprisoned there for us. We bring him out so that the people, you, can come and admire and look at that presence and say to him, how is it that you are here with me in such a simple thing? You are all invited, of course. The Blessed Sacrament is on the altar throughout the night, Wednesday night, and throughout the night, Friday night. As a priest for 32 years, I will tell you that praying before the Blessed Sacrament has sustained me as a priest. It is a powerful, most powerful way of praying. If you haven't tried it, after today, give it a chance. And it makes sense, right? I mean, what is more powerful than spending time with the real presence of God? He loves you, and He's here with you, and He gives Himself to you, body, blood, soul, and divinity. When you receive Holy Communion today, say it under your breath, "My Lord and my God,